Itong buwan ng Mayo, alam natin ito yung buwan na pinagdiriwang ang Mother's Day. It should be on the second Sunday of the month, but due to a mix-up in schedule, sa buwan na ito ay magkakaroon tayo ng lunch fellowship natin ng third Sunday. I'll be explaining that sa covenant meeting mamaya. But be that as it may, ito ay buwan na pinapahalagahan ng mga nanay, kaya gusto kong i-dedicate itong maikling series natin ng Sunday School for this month para sa mga nanay by looking at some important mothers in history. It's not, let's admit it, mothers do not usually figure as historical important people. We recognize historical people as achievers, champions, celebrities, at iba't ibang mga bagay na kanilang naiambag sa lipunan. Sila ang hinahangaan at kinikilala sa kasaysayan. Mothers do not figure that much because by nature ng kanilang trabaho ay anonymous. At least yung mga may public job ay may mga kumikilala niyan. Pero yung mga nanay ay usually ay anonymous yung kanilang trabaho. But what I want to show is precisely because they concentrate their lives and their efforts on the rearing of their children, and what happens to those children may have impact on generations to come. So ultimately, bumabalik din ito sa ginagawa ng ating mga nanay. Kaya while they do not figure very much that much in history, this series will seek to honor a few of them and learn from their motherhood. At ang gusto kong kilalanin natin ay the influence of mothers can perpetuate for generation to come. Siguro familiar kayo sa kasabihang ito, the hands that rock the cradle rule the world. Ang mga kamay na nagduduyan ang siyang namamahala sa mundo. Well, kapag sinabi natin great rulers in the world, we think of men like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, at iba pa. Ngunit lahat ng yan ay minsang idinuyan ng kanilang nanay, pinalaki at hinubog sa paraan para magkaroon sila ng mga karakter na maaring nagamit nila sa kanilang liderato sa mga sumunod na panahon. Kaya I believe in this saying, yung nagtsatsaga sa pag-aalaga, pagpapalaki, paghuhubog ng kanyang anak ay ultimately may kinalaman siya sa pamamahala ng mundo. So with that thought, let us begin by looking at one of the most touching stories of motherhood, and I'm sure I have time and again used her as an illustration in my preaching dahil talagang nakakaantig yung kanyang kwento. Mas kilala natin siyempre yung kanyang anak, Augustine, but I want to begin this story by looking at Monica. Yan ang kanyang mas realistic na portrait, but because in the Catholic Church, she has been adopted, or we should say canonized as saint, ay madalas na ang kanyang larawan ay yung naka-halo na santa. Hindi po tayo naniniwala sa santo o santa sa paraan ng canonization ng Papa. Ang isang tao ay nagiging saint in the biblical New Testament sense when he believes in Christ. Kasi ang ibig sabihin ng santo o santa ay ibinukod. At ganyan nangyayari kapag ang isang tao ay sumampalataya kay Jesucristo, siya ay ibinukod kay Kristo. And in that sense, there is sainthood, which is not a matter of papal canonization, but rather by sanctification in Christ. But we are looking at Monica. Monica was born in Tagaste in a place in North Africa. At that time, the place was called Numidia. Numidia today is both yung Ethiopia and Algeria. At kung mapapansin nyo, ito ay mga Islamic countries na since Muhammad in the 7th century. Yung karamihang lugar na yan ay Islamic na. But before Muhammad, mga Christianized countries ang mga ito. So, Monica was born in Tagaste in Numidia, at tradition holds na ipinanganak siyang Kristiyano, but latest scholarship now holds that she was in fact born to a pagan family. Ito ay bahagi ng kanyang pangalang Monica ay derived from a Punic god Mon, at doon siya ipinangalan. Although sa ngayon, pangalang Monica ay Christianized name na, pero yung sa original, Monica was derived from a Punic god, a pagan god. So we can derive from that the conclusion na ipinanganak siyang sa pagan family, but later on was converted to Christianity. So yan ang nangyari kay Monica. Monica, as most of the girls in those days, married early. Madalas, on average, yung mga kababaihan, hindi naman sila inaasahang mag-aral lang matagal at ang kanilang panawagan lang ay pangtahanan. So, it was usual that girls married in their teens. Teenagers pa lang ay nag-aasawa na. At ganito ang nangyari kay Monica. Ang napangasawa niya ay isang lalaki na pangalan ay Patricius. Augustine himself describes him as a poor, free man. But Patricius was a pagan. And as a pagan, he was described as being violent and indulged in vices. And because of that, Monica had an unhappy marriage. But she endured that marriage. And in fact, we are told that Patricius, wala akong makuha ng image ni Patricius. Patricius, although violent in temper and indulgent in his vices, but he respected Monica dahil sa kanyang ugali. He was annoyed by her Christian ways. But one thing that we can see from the influence of Monica, just before Patricius died, he converted to Christianity. So itong marriage nila, Patricius at Monica, produced 3 children. Augustine being the eldest, then you have Navigius, a brother, and then a daughter. Some call her Perpetua, but Augustine himself, to one surprise, never mentions the name of his sister. So hindi natin sigurado kung ito nga talaga yung pangalan. So I put a question mark, but to the extent that a name was provided sa history, ito ang pinangalan. But ang gusto nating tutukan ay yung pagiging nanay ni Monica dito kay Augustine. Of the 3 children, sinasabi natin ngayon may mga black sheep. Itong si Augustine ay blackest of the black sa pamilya. He was wayward and by his own self-description, lazy. Now, we will see later what this lazy man has achieved. But this is Augustine's own self-description. Na yung kanyang kabataan, siya ay tamad, siya ay wayward, liko yung kanyang mga gawi. But his parents wanted him to achieve some ambition in life. So he was sent to an important city for his education, that is in Carthage. Now, before the birth of Christ, Carthage was a rival of Rome in prominence doon sa known world. Bago nagkaroon ng Roman Empire, may tinatawag na Carthaginian Empire. At itong Carthaginian Empire, ito'y nakabase sa Carthage. But in a series of wars, known in history as the Peloponnesian Wars, ginapi ng Rome itong Carthage. So by the time of Augustine, Carthage was no longer a rival of Rome. But it was still a chief city. At mahalaga pa rin ang education dyan sa Carthage. So pinadala dyan si Augustine para mag-aral, but here in Carthage, Augustine lived in vices and immorality. He had an immoral relationship. And by his own self-description, later on in his confessions, ito ang sinabi niya sa kanyang naging buhay sa Carthage, "These things I knew not at that time, and I loved these lower beauties, and I was sinking to the very depths." The confessions, I will really urge everyone who can read should buy the confessions of Augustine, one of the greatest pieces of literature. And I'll be making references to that again and again. So, ito ang naging self-description ni Augustine ng kanyang buhay doon sa Carthage. He had an unmarried, he had an immoral relationship, and out of that immoral relationship, ay nag-produce ng isang anak na si pinangalanan niyang Adeodatus. Adeodatus in Latin means a gift of God. At itong bantayog na yan, monumentong yan ay matatagpuan nyo sa Colegio de San Agustin sa Makati. So, andyan si Monica, si Augustine at yung kanyang anak na si Adeodatus. Now, curiously, even though Augustine professed love and affection for the woman who was his companion, as prolific as he was, he never once mentioned her name. So, kilala natin yung kanilang naging anak, Adeodatus. By the way, Adeodatus would die earlier than Augustine. So, Augustine would survive his own son and a big blow on his life, on himself. Pero yung sino yung naging kasama niyang babae, ay hindi niya pinangalanan ni minsan. So, it's a deep mystery. But they lived many years together. Then, it was also during this period that he espoused the heresy known as Manichaeism. Manichaeism ay mula sa propetang si Mani, M-A-N-I. Ang kanyang inangkin ay siya yung huling propeta. Kinilala niya na si Jesus ay propeta at yung mga propeta ng lumang tipan, pero mas huli siya kay Jesus. Now, Augustine became a follower of this cult, Manichaeism. And when he went back to Tagaste, sa bahay nila kay Monica, at nagsimula siyang magkumbinsi ng iba't ibang tao, pinalaya siya ni Monica sa kanyang bahay. In other words, kung nagiging masamang influence na sa maling pagtuturo, as Monica loved her son without question, yet as he was becoming a bad influence, pinalaya siya sa bahay. Pero nagkaroon din naman sila ng pagkakasundo. So, it was then that he went to another place for study and then later on became a professor in Milan. By the way, the field of study of Augustine is rhetorics. Rhetorics is the study of speaking. Kung babasahin niyo yung mga sulat talaga ni Augustine, he had a gift of language. And that's the reason is because this was his field of study. Rhetorics, at siya ay naging professor. Hindi siya pinawawala ni Monica. Monica followed him in Milan. So ito ay professor na. Sumunod yung nanay. Dahil napapariwara na nga yung kanyang anak. Hindi niya pinabayaan. By the way, at this time, Monica was a widow. So sinundan niya. And this is where both mother and son, that is Monica and Augustine, would fall under the influence of Milan's great bishop, Ambrose. Again, ginawa siyang santo ng simbahang Katoliko. And again, I want to stress that we do not accept such a status in terms of canonization. But Ambrose was a great teacher and also a great speaker, which would make Augustine listen to him intently. But not only out of rhetorical attraction, may laman sa pangangaral ni Ambrose na naging dahilan para masumbatan si Augustine sa kanyang kasalanan. So listening to Ambrose preach led to Augustine's conviction of sin. Nagkaroon siya ng sumbat sa kanyang kasalanan, and he experienced one of the most famous conversions in history. Now let me make Augustine himself describe that conversion. I was saying these things and weeping in the most bitter contrition of my heart when, lo, I heard a voice, as of a boy or girl, I know not which, coming from a neighboring house, chanting and oft repeating, take up and read, take up and read. Immediately, my countenance was changed. Yung batang ito naglalaro lang sa kabilang bakod at may sinabing ganun sa, in Latin, actually, tole, lege, take up and read, take up and read. Eh, ginawa niya itong parang leading sa kanya. So, quickly I returned to the place where Alypius was sitting, for there had I put down the volume of the apostles. When I rose thence, I grasped, opened, and in silence read that paragraph on which my eyes first fell. So, ibig sabihin, kinuha niya yung Bible, binuksan niya sa kung saan, itinuro niya ang kanyang babasahin, at ang kanyang nabasa, Romans 13 and following, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And it was bull's eye hit on Augustine's lifestyle. kumbaga hagip na hagip yung estilo ng pamumuhay ni Augustine. And as a result, sinabi niya, no further would I read, nor did I need. For instantly as the sentence ended by a light as it were of security infused into my heart, all the gloom of doubt vanished away. Pero isang makikita natin dito, we don't agree that you seek for God's will by randomly opening your Bible, pointing your finger at whatever passage, and that's the will of God. Pero makikita natin that God in His mercy can condescend to the immaturity of a seeker. At ito ang nangyari kay Augustine. Yung ginamit na talata ay eksaktong-eksakto na para sa kanya. So he was converted. And at this time that Augustine was now a Christian, Monica tried to arrange a marriage. Kasi hindi na katanggap-tanggap yung kanyang relasyon. Monica compelled him to part ways with his woman and to arrange a higher status marriage. And again, back in those days, parents arranged your marriage. Yung mga magulang ang nag-a-arrange ng marriage at hindi ito katakataka. Eh dahil wala na yung tatay, si Monica ngayon ang nag-a-arrange ng pag-aasawa ni Augustine. Pumayag si Augustine na humiwalay sa kanyang kinakasama, pero sa halip na mag-asawa, Augustine decided to be a celibate. Meaning, hindi na siya nag-asawa mula noon. Hindi niya ito ginawa na parang requirement, kaso ginawa itong modelo ng priesthood, Catholic priesthood later. But this was his decision. And imagine, this was a man who lived a profligate, debauched life, now deciding he would be a celibate. Now, that's quite a decision. So, pumayag na rin si Monica, and now that he was a Christian, Augustine became famous because of his wisdom and because of his language, and now he was called back to North Africa to be a minister. So, sinamahan siya ni Monica, but on the way to North Africa, while they were in a place called Ostia, Monica died. So, hindi na siya nakarating doon. Doon na rin siya inilibing. At meron doon na yung simbahang Katoliko na dedicated kay Monica doon sa Ostia. But what I want to highlight about Monica as a mother, which I want to use as the lesson for us, is the power of prayer. Yung kapangyarihan ng pananalangin ng isang magulang. Ito ay isang nanay, pero i-extend natin sa magulang. The outstanding motherly virtue of Monica, without doubt, is her earnest prayer and intercession for her son. When Augustine was still living a wayward life, nung ang buhay ni Augustine ay immoral pa, makasalanan pa, siya'y pinapanalangin ni Monica, meron siyang kinonsulta na isang ministro, at one of the most famous words to Monica, well anyway, the famous words sinabi ng ministro na ito, it is impossible that the son of such tears will perish. So yan ang the most famous words na binanggit kay Monica nung nakita kung paano siya manalangin para sa kanyang anak. At paano siya tumangis nung panahon na si Augustine ay nasa kasalanan pa. Yan ang sinabi sa kanya. Imposible na ang ganyang iniiyakan ay mapapahamak. So there is the recognition of the power of prayer. And then Augustine himself recognized this as the main influence sa kanya. Itong sinabi niya sa kanyang confessions. By the way, Augustine's confessions are addressed to God. Pero habang ina-account niya yung kanyang buhay, they are all addressed to God. So, thou sendest thine hand from above, and drewest my soul out of that profound darkness, when my mother, thy faithful one, wept to thee on my behalf, more than mothers are wont to weep the bodily death of their children. For she saw that I was dead by that faith and spirit which she had from thee. And thou heardest her, O Lord. Thou heardest her and despisest not her tears when pouring down, they water the earth under her eyes in every place where she prayed. So that's Augustine's own tribute to his mother, na kinilala niya na kung meron mang kinasangkapan ang Diyos para sa kanyang pagkakaligtas, syempre marami, kinasangkapan si Ambrose, kinasangkapan yung kanyang mga pagbabasa, pero kinilala ni Augustine na ang malaking kapangyarihan sa likod ng kanyang pagkakaligtas ay ang masidhing pananalangin ng kanyang nanay. So, let's just summarize here. The reason why I say we can consider Monica a mother for generations because of Augustine. Isipin natin ang naging impluensya ni Augustine. This is Augustine. For many years, it was thought that this was the image of Jerome. Until, again, later scholarship updated that, realizing that this in fact is Augustine. So yan si Augustine, born in the year 354, died in 430. Now, anong mga naging impluensya ni Augustine sa mahabang panahon, starting in 391 hanggang sa kanyang kamatayan ng 430, he was a bishop in Hippo. Hippo Regius. Yan ay sa North Africa, now part of Algeria. But this is where he ministered for almost 40 years. So hindi niya iniwanan yan. And he became, during that time, the most influential teacher of his generation. Not only that, this man who once called himself lazy became a most prolific writer. More than 1,000 works, of which 242 are full books. Timbang-timbangin natin yon. Wala siyang computer. Sulat kamay ito. So, mahigit 1,000 works ang kanyang isinulat. Sa mahigit 1,000 na yon, 242 are full books, all written by his own hands. Sana ganun ako ka-lazy. If that is the product of a lazy man. But that's the output of this man, and many of those write-ups are still with us. But let me just point out his masterpieces without question are two. Augustine's Confessions, considered to be the first autobiography, but a kind of autobiography which is his communion with God. All throughout, he was addressing God. And probably the most memorable quote is right there in the first paragraph, You have made my heart for thee, and my heart is restless until I find rest in thee. So, again, I will urge you na kapag wala pa kayo nito, mura lang to, sa size of a small pocketbook, and try to obtain one, and you will benefit, you will be blessed by the Confessions of St. Augustine. And the second masterpiece is The City of God. Nangyari ito in the context of 410. In the year 410, Rome fell in the hands of barbarians. And it was unthinkable. Ang tawag noon sa Rome ay the Eternal City. It became the reference to all the known world. As long as Rome is there, the world exists. Suddenly, the unthinkable happened. Rome fell. And Rome fell in the hands of barbarians. So, Augustine introduced the concept of the city of God. By that, he meant you should not refer your earthly life to a city of man, which is Rome. You should refer your life to the city of God, which is the only eternal city. So, kinokontest niya yung kategory ng Rome as eternal city. At ang sinasabi niya ay, iugnay natin ang ating buhay doon sa talagang eternal city, which is the city of God. This is a Christian philosophy of history. That history has a goal, and the goal is the fulfillment of the plan of God, which is here portrayed as the city of God. Not only these masterpieces, his thoughts shape ideas for all generations. Let me just, I teach theology and I teach ethics, and it is impossible for me to teach this without referring to Augustine, because many of the theological and ethical ideas, ang root nito ay dun sa mga itinuro ni Augustine. Let me give you just one of the many I can cite Just one, the theory of the just war. Ay, bawat bansa na susuong sa digmaan, kinakailangan patunayan nila na yung digmaan na kanilang uumpisahan ay just war. Naalala ko sa speech noon ni George H.W. Bush, yung tatay ng George W. Bush, sa unang Iraq War, ito ang kanyang sinasabi, this is a just war. Saan niya kinuha yung konsepto na yun? Augustine. And then George W. Bush, nung kanya rin isinusulong yung idea ng Iraq War. Every time any Western democracy will enter into a war, they need to prove that this is a just war. And this all began with Augustine. So this is just one of the many where Augustine's thoughts and ideas remain to this day. Not only that, he was the main oppositionist to major heresies of his day. Well, nakita natin kanina na na-convert siya una sa Manichaeism at itong isang kanyang inopose. But besides that, other heresies of the period, Donatism, Pelagianism, the idea that everything is by human will, yung mga konsepto rito ay ginamit later on ng mga reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin. Augustine had a major influence on the reformers. But of course, in fairness, he also was a child of his day. He also had his errors which found their way into Catholic theology. But now back to parenting. Balik tayo sa lesson ng parenting or mothering ni Monica. The parental lesson is intercessory prayer for children as an essential parental mandate. Ang pananalangin para sa mga anak ay mando para sa mga magulang. Tingnan natin ang ilang modelo sa Biblia. Job. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So regular daw niyang ginagawa sa kung ilang bilang ng kanyang mga anak, para sa kanila siya naghahain, nakasama ang pananalangin para sa kanila. And then you have the prayer of David for Solomon. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build a palace for which I have made provision. So again, a father's prayer for his son. And this is all rooted in what should be a major conviction. What should be the major conviction of every parent? Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. So yung punto na unless it is the Lord who builds the house, they labor in vain. Now, what does that mean? Then that means you must seek the Lord's help, grace, blessing upon the labors of parenting. Tatlong bagay yung gusto kong kunin dito. Una, ipaalala natin sa ating sarili that conversion is through individual regeneration by the Spirit, not generational. Yung sa Israel, para maging anak ka ng tipan, kinakailangan mo lang na sa henerasyon. Hindi ganyan sa pagka-Kristiyano. Huwag isipin ng sino man sa inyo na kayo'y anak ng Kristiyano, kayo ay Kristiyano na. Hindi po ganun. Ang pagkakaligtas kay Kristo ay individual na gawa ng Espiritu, hindi sa henerasyon, kundi sa tinatawag na regeneration. Yung pagbabago ng Espiritu sa isang individual. Huwag kang mag-isip na dahil ang magulang mo'y Kristiyano, mamanahin mo yun. Hindi. Kinakailangan sa individual na paraan lumapit ka kay Yesu Kristo. At yun ang dahilan kung bakit kinakailangan tayong nananalangin para sa kanilang kaligtasan, ay sapagkat hindi nila mamanahin ito sa atin. Ikalawa, intercessory prayer is a major means of the efficacy of grace. Here is what Paul says in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Now, this is in the middle, nasa gitna siya ng pagtuturo ng pagkasuberano ng Diyos sa kaligtasan. There are those whom God has chosen to save. Soberano siya sa kung sinong kanyang ililigtas. Now, madaling gumawa ng konklusyon, sa soberano pala ang Diyos, kikilos ang biyaya niya kung kailan niya gustong kumilos. Mali ang ganong konklusyon. Dito makikita natin sa kalagitnaan ng pagtuturo ng pagkasoberano ng Diyos, nanalangin si Pablo. Pinanalangin niya ang buong Israel that they may be saved. So hindi siya sumandal lang sa, if they are elect, they will be saved. No, you don't make that kind of complacency. Kinakailangan ng pananalangin. Kaya yung pananalangin, kasangkapan para sa pagliligtas. And then thirdly, parental intercessory prayer. Kung gagayahin natin si Job, must be regular. Sinabi ron, he did it continually, specific, for every one of the number of his children. Wag lang pangmaramihan, pagpalain mo silang lahat. There must be a specificity of every child in the brood of your family. So, specific, and then, like Monica, fervent. Are our children children of tears? So yun ang sinabi kay Monica, it is impossible that the son of such tears will perish. And let that come back to us as a challenge. Are our children children of our tears? Counter the evil influences on our children through earnest prayers. Nakita naman natin ang nangyari kay Augustine. A life of profligacy, debauchery, immorality, yet Monica never gave up. And soon, her prayers caught up with him. That's the power of parental prayer. Any question, any thought you'd like to raise? Jean?
I understand na naging focus si Monica because of God has had a mental sa conviction ni Augustine. But I'm curious, what happened dun sa other two children? Can we assume, or by implication, they were Christians?
There is the possibility that those two children died earlier than Augustine. Kaya not much is mentioned of them. At na-focus yung concentration ni Monica kay Augustine. Remember, during this period, the expected average longevity was in the 20s. Isin, pag nagkasakit, hindi naman dahil matanda na by 30, kundi kung magkasakit, wala, yung uri ng medisina noon was not the kind that we have today. So, ma-infect ka, it proved fatal. So, there was the possibility, kaya walang masyadong nasabi tungkol sa dalawa that because of the possibility that they died much earlier than Augustine. Other thoughts? Questions? Or sa lesson sa parental prayer, Myla.
Pastor, is it possible din na paborito ni Monica si Augustine? At pwede bigyan niyo kami ng kaunting enlightenment kasi minsan ito yung reklamo ng mga bata na ang kanilang mga magulang ay may favorite.
I would not say favorite, but because Augustine was the wayward one. Kumbaga, yung dalawa, mabuti naman ang kalagayan in terms of morality, maaring naging Christian na sila. And it was Augustine who was proving to be very wayward and immoral, kaya nag-konsentrasyon si Monica sa kay Augustine because of his life. So that's how I would say it. Although, of course, it wasn't unheard of, especially in those days na nagkakaroon din ng favoritism ng magulang, which should never be.
I believe, Pastor, yung praying fervently para sa mga anak is not only for mothers, pero both parents sana. Kasi I have this, I have a father na talagang hindi siya marunong dumisiplina sa sarili niya. Pero before he died, sinabi niya sa akin, I have always prayed for you. So parang kahit hindi siya talaga ideal na father, yung kinilala ko yung pananalangin niya araw-araw as yung may faith pa rin siya. Na alam kong hindi naman ako wayward sa mga magkakapatid. Pero isang father na who could not see her daughter na nag-aaral sa Laguna, siya ay nasa Pangasinan. It was the means of prayer lang siya, nakakakuha ng comfort na hindi pinapabayaan ng Panginoon yung kanyang malayong anak.
Well, of course, as kaya sinabi ko kanina, ang application nito is parental na, which will include both father and mother. Although the model we used is a mother in the person of Monica, pero the praying for children is definitely the duty of both parents. Other thoughts? Patrick.
Pastor, pwede pong pa-explain yung passage na and women will be saved through childbearing.
1 Timothy chapter 2. Yun ay sa passage ng na-cite ni Paul yung case ni Eve as a proof, a model of the male leadership structure in the church. Nag-appeal si Paul sa creation at sa fall, which of course both involved Adam and Eve. So yung childbirth doon, alam natin na yung childbirth became to Eve the portrait of her curse. So yung sinasabing salvation in childbirth, hindi yan absolute promise na ang mga nanay ay hindi magpe-perish from childbirth kung sila ay Kristiyano. Hindi totoo yan. Pero ang sinasabi ay yung what represented curse on Eve is salvation to those who obey the Word of God. So hindi yan promise na to Christians there will be no pain in childbirth. But childbirth representing the curse on Eve. Jim.
Pastor, yung sa observation ni Myla na baka may favoritism, I don't agree na may favoritism si Monica. Kasi ang tingin ko, yung mga may favoritism, ang tendency nila maging very soft dun sa mga anak. But based dun sa notes and what you have shared, very firm si Monica yung pag-pursue niya relentlessly dun sa son and pag hindi niya pagtanggap dun sa bahay. All those suggest na she's a very firm woman. And if by conclusion, she will not be a person who will have favoritism.
Yes, I would say that and I would agree. At saka, di ba, kung magkaroon man ng favoritism, ang pipiliin ay yung mabait na anak. Eh sa tatlo, eto nga si Augustine ang may sungay. Hindi siya yung mabait sa tatlo. Kaya I don't think it is favoritism na nag-concentrate si Monica kay Augustine, but because of his wayward life. Carol.
Pastor, some thoughts lang. Kasi as Christians, syempre po, all our prayers are for our children to be saved. And as such, siguro it's a good thought that we should not really give up on praying for our children, no matter how we think they're hopeless, their case is hopeless, because as long as they have breath, we can continue pleading for God's mercy on their soul. And one more thing, yung as mother, yung we really have to pray individually for our children, just like what Job did, because each of our children have different weaknesses, different sins that they fall into. And even while praying for it, we need God's grace on how we ought to deal with them in a way that will lead them to the Lord, and so that they may know more of the Lord. So it's really vital for the mothers, most especially because we are the ones attending to them closely while our husbands are. Though, of course, this is really a joint both husband and wife should really pray for the children, but most especially for the mother who really attends closely to the children and knows their weaknesses.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Carol. So tama yung point na tuloy-tuloy na pananalangin, wag mag-give up kahit pa one's child, as Augustine turned out to be, parang nawala na ng pag-asa. Monica never gave up on her son. And tama rin na we must be specific for each of the children na ating ipinapanalangin. Huwag tayong general lang na pagpalain mo silang lahat, kundi be specific. When I pray for my child, I'm specific. Kasi isa lang yun. Tess.
Sabi ni Carol, humbling yung lesson natin ngayon. Hindi mag yung panalangin ng magulang sa mga anak para sa akin ay hindi po nagtatapos sa siyempre gusto natin pumaligtas sila, pero pag ang sa akin po ang burden ko, kahit pala ligtas na yung anak mo, yung burden to pray for them parang mas mabigat pa po, kasi una yung na sana magpatuloy sila sa pagiging Kristiyano, tsaka yung sila ba ay magiging yung sa next na families po nila, ganun. Yung ewan po, mabigat, pero yung panalangin, tama yung ngayon ko lang na-realize po yung kay Job eh, tsaka yung kay Monica. No? Hanggang ano po, Pastor, yung pagiging pag-aasawa nila, ganun. Kasi maraming nagpo-fall po ng mga Kristiyano sa paghahanap ng mga hindi Kristiyano, yung panalangin po ng magulang kanin.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, while our children are not yet believers, the major prayer would be something about their being visited by grace. Pero hindi nagtatapos doon. Huwag tayong mag-isip na yan, ligtas na, bahala ng Panginoon sa kanya. Patuloy ang panalangin. In fact, I don't think parental prayer for children would ever stop. It will be continuing on. Kahit pa may sarili na silang pamilya, ay magtutuloy-tuloy pa rin ang ating panalangin para sa kanila. Our thoughts, Myla.
Pastor, I really admire ka sa kanyang mga panalangin. Pero ang gusto ko lang itanong ay, ano kayang factor ang naging dahilan kung ba't naging ganun ka-wayward si Augustine? I want to assume na mabuti siyang ina na nagtuturo ng tama. Pero ba't ganun kagrabe ang kinalabasan ng isang batang tinuturuan?
Well, I thought many times whether to include a line in Augustine's Confessions. I decided not to, but now that you are raising it, he said something like this: I thought of life as miserable unless in the fold of arms of a woman. So, yun ang kanyang sinabi. And he lived that idea in a life of debauchery. Kaya nga, magugulat ka sa decision niya na to be celibate. Yun ang kanyang personalidad. So on the day that he was converted, yung binasa natin kanina, and when he went out the following day, and again, those women were enticing him, he told them, "I'm sorry, the Augustine you knew has died." And he resolved to repent of that life of debauchery. Other thoughts? Go ahead, Myla.
Sorry, Pastor. Pwede po paki-flash niyo ulit yung confession ni Augustine, tribute sa kanyang ina.
Kung
paki-flash po pa nang masyadong maganda, pwede pong paki-ulit at baka po magandang lang i-translate din sa Tagalog.
Ni Ike. Sige. Iba muna ang question habang go ahead, Jim.
Pastor, kailan yung conversion ni Augustine? Kasi kung namatay si Monica noong 387 AD, kailan? Yeah. I was thinking kung immediately she died, parang talaga no, yung...
Siguro in the 80s, meaning 380s above, before but 387.
Before, yeah. Pero I mean the duration, the period, kasi parang ang reflection ko lang po doon, talagang ginamit ng God lang siya for the conversion of Agustin kung namatay na siya not too long after nung conversion ni Agustin.
Kasi yes, I would think so. Na, kasi Adeodatus was born when Augustine was only age 17. So, what year would that be? 354 plus 17, 369. 381. So, bandang taas pa nun. Before 387, mga after 380.
It's about 6 years. The question that I had in mind was, anong naging role pa ni Monica during in Agustin's ministry?
Well, as I said, she tried to arrange a marriage kasi noon ang kaisipan ni Monica ay to have Agustin marry a higher status woman and she wanted Agustin to be like Ambrose. Very influential si Ambrose noon, hindi lang sa simbahan kundi maging sa pamahalaan doon sa Milan, and it was that kind of status that Monica wanted for her son. But as it turned out nga, Agustin decided to end the relationship, which was immoral, but on the other hand, decided to be celibate. May pa pang question muna. Go ahead, Myla.
Pastor, tatanong ko lang kasi nung bago akong Kristiyano, nalilito ako dahil naririnig ko nga ng kiniklaim ng mga evangelical Christians na Kristiyano si Agustin. Pero alam nga natin na kahit saan tayo tumingin, nilalarawan siya na isang santo, si Monica ay isang santa na parang katoliko. Paano na-claim ng katoliko na sila ay kanila? Parang hindi ba klaro sa kanila na evangelical Christians kung ano to?
Well, as I told you dun sa bandang huli tungkol kay Agustin, unfortunately, he also had his ideas which later became a seed for Catholic theology tungkol sa sacraments, etc. Kaya inaangkin din siya ng Katoliko, pero pagdating sa pagtuturo niya ng biyaya, it's very clear to Luther and to Calvin that he was, in fact, ang tawag sa kanya ay theologian of grace. Yung buong confessions ni Agustin ay 12 books in all, divided into 12 books. Book 9 is almost all about Monica. Ang title niya sa book 9 ay Requiem for Monica. Any last thoughts? Jean.
Pastor, ano po ba yung profession ni Monica na influence yung interest ni Agustin sa rhetoric?
Well, as most women at that time would be, she would be a full-time housewife and mother. And at the same time, dun sa Tagaste, ay kinilala yung kanyang pagiging women who were also in unhappy marriages looked up to her because she was one who, known for an unhappy marriage, yet she endured, she was patient, and kumbaga, naging influential siya sa mga kababaihan ng Tagaste. But whether she had a profession or business, that is not said. Okay, last thoughts? Myla, go ahead.
Pastor, mula nung maliit pa ako hanggang ngayon, very common na marinig na hinaing ng mga nanay ay pinagdasal na nila ng todo-todo ang anak nila, pero ganun pa rin ang buhay. Parang kagaya ni Agustin. Ano kayang diferensya dun sa maraming mga nanay at saka kay Monica? Kasi pare-pareho lang naman nagpe-pray.
Well, of course, pag sinabi natin man pananalangin, hindi ito automatic na tiyak mangyayari, kundi may iba pa rin kasangkapan. At dyan, papasok sa susunod na linggo ang makikita naman nating kahanga-hanga kay Susanna Wesley. Kay Monica, we saw a woman of devotion and intercession. In Susanna, we will see a woman of discipline and instruction. Still part of parenting. Any other thoughts, challenge ng buhay ni Monica? Well, sana itong maging challenge sa atin. The first mandate of parents and mothers should excel in this in particular ay hilingin sa Panginoon ang kanyang biyaya para sa ating sangbahayan. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So ultimately, the builder of the house is the Lord, and the woman has a very key place to fill sa pagbubuo ng kanyang sangbahayan, at isa sa mga pangunahing pagtatayo sa sangbahayan ay sa pamagitan ng panalangin. Again, I return to you the challenge. Are your children children of such tears? Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa buhay ni Monica at kung paano siyang naging hamon para sa amin sa pagkamagulang na dapat naming gampanan ng may pananalangin sa iyo, at pinatunayan mo ito na sa sidhi ng pananalangin ni Monica ay inabot mo ng iyong biyaya ang katulad ni Augustine na sa kabila ng kanyang buhay na may immoralidad ay dinalo pa rin ng iyong biyaya, at wala kaming duda na isa sa mga kasangkapan ay ang pananalangin ng kanyang nanay, at naway maging hamon ito sa bawat magulang na magpatuloy kaming manalangin para sa aming mga anak, na dalawin mo ng biyaya at ng iyong pag-iingat at ng iyong pagtuturo ng iyong salita, at naway huwag kaming sumuko sa anumang mga ibang impluensya na maaring nakikita naming nangingibabaw sa kanila. Naniniwala kami na lalong makapangyarihan ang iyong biyaya. We believe that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And one means in order for grace to powerfully move is in response to prayer. So we thank you that we have in Monica such challenge to earnestly pray, to regularly pray, to specifically pray for our children. And may those thoughts really come back to us by way of haunting challenge. Are our children children of such tears? We give you back the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.